Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning again, and welcome into the house of the Lord. Happy Resurrection Sunday. What a great time and day to celebrate that we can celebrate this even every single day. So much is going on in our world today. Frida said it right. We need Jesus, and we need to stick together more than ever. So I want to share a little testimony. Thank you for the music team. They were just awesome and amazing. And at the end, Pastor Ken's going to do some music, and we're going to close in worship. But something very unusual happened to me this week regarding this message. And, you know, there's so many ways you can title a resurrection message. He lives, he's alive, the tomb is empty, so many different things. And that's great. That's awesome. Those are great titles. Death has been defeated, so many things. But as I was sitting at my office with the Word of God, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me and give me a title and tell me, I'm all about the title too, Pam. And this is what He put in my heart. Why don't you tell them that He is risen and the story isn't over yet? And that hit me. I began to weep because here's what the Holy Spirit said. So many people will talk about resurrection, Easter, whatever you want to call it. God's not in a box here, but I prefer resurrection. But I will tell you, they will tell you about the resurrection, and then what else? And here's why we need to know the story isn't over. Because there's going to be times in your life when you feel like this is it. I can't take another step. I can't do this. I feel like because of this diagnosis, or I feel like this has happened, it's over. It's one of the biggest lies the enemy tells us is that it's over. And I'm here to tell you that your story is not over. He is risen, and your story isn't over because of the cross. No matter who you are or how old you are, your story isn't over. And that's why we're here to celebrate today. Now, I want to tell you something else. Have you ever known of any celebration that lasted over 2,000 years? No, there's two things. The birth of Jesus Christ and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are the only two things that have been celebrated for over 2,000 years. We don't celebrate the 2,000-year-old dinosaurs, do we? No, we do not. It's all about Jesus. That's the only thing that will stand the test of time. That's the only thing for 2,000 years we celebrated. So as we begin, I've got a couple things, and then I'm going to hand this to my wonderful brother. Something really cute happened last week in Sunday school, Israel. In Sunday school. I want to tell you that the good stuff happens down there. I hear it all the time. I told Sandra, I said, my next purchase is going to be video cameras on those kids downstairs. It's amazing. So last Sunday, they were talking about it, and they have the little eggs where Jesus comes out of the tomb, you know, all kind of that cute stuff. And Sandra and Dan are doing an amazing job down there. They're on break. They're in Florida this week. But Sandra was sharing last week about Jesus dying on the cross in fairly graphic detail. You know, you want your kids to know it, but, you know. And little six-year-old Elijah, Sylvia and Israel's little boy, just was shocked. Sandra said, he said, that is awful. That is just the most terrible, terrible thing that they did to Jesus. That's just not right. And it was so cute. But it struck me because of this reason. He got it. Even our children can understand the message of the cross. It's simple enough for a child to understand. And I imagine that conversation in heaven that God was having with Jesus. And I'm going to close with these three things for my part. And as Pastor Ken begins, there are three things that are too awesome for me to almost comprehend. Number one, that the Father was willing to give his only son to be a living sacrifice for you and I. That's hard for me to comprehend. Number two, that Jesus Christ was willing to actually be the sacrifice of sin for you and me. Number three is just that he would do that, that they would do that. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for you and I. That is almost too amazing to comprehend. That is the definition of love. You know what the real definition of love is? The cross.
Yeah, God just pours his love out on us. Just constantly, all through our life. And the big picture of life is to respond to that. And to, I was thinking about this, that Jesus is king to even those who reject him as king. But he's only Lord to those who accept him as Lord. Think of that. He's king to, if you talk to someone in hell and say, who's king? They're going to say, Jesus. But who's Lord? Who's Savior? We have to accept him as Savior. The first note that I have in my notes is that there is none good, no, not one. And we all know that. There's no one good, not one. Think of this answer, though, that Jesus gave. What must I do to be saved? We think of it as we know the Bible, we know the born-again process, you accept Jesus as your Savior. But think of the people that are hearing this for the first time. Hey, how about me, Jesus? What would I need to do? You look at my life. What repairs would I need to make? What changes would I need to make? And he's basically like, you'd have to be born again. You're that bad. You know, you would have to start completely over. We can't even repair this thing. It's like if you call someone to say, how do I fix this house? And they're like, you don't. You tear it down and you start from a foundation. And that's true, because think of the world who's trying to think that they're good enough, that it's sufficient enough. And I wanted to say this about a compass. A compass isn't magic, is it? It points north. Because it's built in, the magnetic field causes it to point north. How in the world does a bird fly back to its home? How does a fish swim back, 800 miles to where it was born? How does it know where to go? There's built-in compasses. How does human beings know to serve God? I believe that God has put in every human heart, a compass that points towards God. That when you hear the story of the cross, when you hear of the love of Jesus, you can't help. I think it's harder to reject Christ than that's so hard to do, because you have to go against everything. When you look at the stars, when you look at the creation, you see God's creation everywhere. So I wanted to say that this entire message, that once in a while, we really need to examine our hearts to make sure, you know. I've always asked this question when we have secret sin in our life. When I'm in church, am I a sinner pretending to be a Christian? Or when I am in the world, am I a Christian pretending to be a sinner? Which one am I? So we want to make our calling and our election sure. So the cross was just love. They used to have those cards that said, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he said, this much, and he stretched out his arms and died. That's true. He loved us as far as the east is from the west. So Jesus paid your penalty. He paid the price for you. He paid the price for me. And Pam, you were saying that just blows you away that he agreed to that, that God agreed to save us. I mean, who, this human race is, you know, we're not all of that. We're, you know, sometimes we're a horrible group of people as human beings. You know, we do horrible things, we do selfish things, and yet, despite all of our shortcomings and all of our sin, Jesus said yes. He said yes to loving the unlovable. He said yes to going places that people wouldn't even care. People don't care that he died. They don't care that he suffered. They don't care that he died for them. But Jesus said yes to you, and the question is, what do we say to him? Will you go with this man? So the question that you have to ask is why? You know, Andre Crouch wrote it in a song, I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why, but why? Why did he love us? Why did he love you? And the answer is he knew you. He knew everyone. He knew you even before you were born. He knew you. He knew your smile. He knew that you were made and created wonderfully. And he did it to redeem you. He did it to redeem his family. He could not imagine eternity without you. He did not want to go to the cross. Matthew 26:39 says he went a little further and fell on his face. He didn't go just a little bit further, folks. He then got up and he went to the cross. And then he didn't stop. He went down and he took the keys of hell, death, hell, and the grave. He defeated Satan. He made a show of him openly. He paralyzed him, but he wasn't done. Death could not hold him, right? The power of the Holy Spirit after 3 days rocked the hell itself and lit up hell itself. And he rose, but he wasn't done. Then he went to heaven and he took his blood and he put it on the mercy seat. And then he wasn't done. Now he lives to make intercession for us. And he's not done because he's waiting. Whatever Jesus is doing, he has one eye on that angel with the trumpet. And that angel's just waiting for the Father. Now, is it time now? And the Father, wait, someday that signal's going to be. Now's the time. Now is the time. So the story of the cross is such a large story. It's our story. It's the story that began in the garden, and it's the story that's not going to ever end. But the next chapter is going to be pretty glorious. The trumpet's going to sound, the sky's going to light up, and the world is going to mourn. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing.
That's it. And we really can't imagine the fullness of the sacrifice. We absolutely can't imagine it at all. I've shared this one other time in service. Last February, I had a eye surgery on both of my eyes, and the anesthesia did not work. It worked for the cutting part, and then it was over. And they had to put 22 stitches, 11 in each eye, while I was not anesthetized. And all I was doing the whole time was saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And during that surgery, the blood was so extensive, they began cleaning my hair, cleaning my face. I realized on the ground there was blood. And the pain was unthinkable. And as I was even laying there, I had the presence of mind to say, oh God, is this, you took the cross with no pain medication whatsoever. There was nothing that took away 1 ounce of pain. And the blood was everywhere. But here's the thing. In my case, when the blood was spilled, they were cleaning up the blood. In the case of Jesus, the blood was cleaning up me. What a huge difference that you clean up blood. If somebody starts bleeding, it's like, get rid of the blood, get rid of the blood. In the case of the blood of Jesus, the blood is getting rid of the sin in me. The blood is washing away all of your sin and iniquity. What a difference. But the pain, Elijah said it best, it was awful, it was awful, it was horrible, and what they did to Jesus. But part of understanding that is to know that Jesus was willing for them to do that. Had you asked me, would you agree to this surgery, knowing the anesthesia was not going to work and they were going to literally sew you with, I would have said, no, I don't agree to that. The fact that Jesus said, yes, I do agree, is just, you can't comprehend that. There's not one of us who would agree to that. That's what love is. That's why the definition of love is the cross. And the Bible says that Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. I always say people say it like this, and I like this, he would rather die than live without you and I. It's hard for me to believe that someone would rather die and suffer than live without me. I mean, who am I? We must be pretty special to God, am I right? Created in his image for him to be willing to die instead of live without us. But the Bible said he endured the cross, and in the Greek, the word is hyponemo, and it means he stayed on the cross. He endured the cross. The word means to stay submitted and to stay committed. Jesus was submitted to the cross because he was committed to you and I. He was committed to his love for us. Jesus wanted to be in a marriage relationship with you and I. He was ready to say, I do, I will, no matter what, no matter how hard it gets. If only we, I'm about to start a relationship class tomorrow night, if only we would be so committed in Christ to the betterment of one another and our love for one another. But a lot of people will tell me some things, and I want to go through this. You know, there's times we avoid doing the will of the Father because we think it's too hard. Jesus did the will of the Father, which was to go to the cross. But there are times in our life when we will avoid doing the will of the Father, right? And here's what we're going to say. Oh, that's too hard, God. Wait a minute. You're asking me to love my neighbor. Have you met my neighbor? That's what I want to ask you, God. Have you met my neighbor? But that's too hard, God. Or we'll say, what do you mean forgive them? Have you ever had a child that was molested? Do you know what I'm talking about, God? Do you know what you're asking me to do? And they will say it's too hard. And anytime anybody ever come to church, that's too hard. You got to get up on Sunday morning. You got to get dressed. You got to plan for it. By the way, it's a Saturday night decision. I said that to everybody in the church yesterday. But here's the thing. When you tell me it's too hard to forgive, when you tell me it's too hard to love, I'm going to tell you what's really hard. The cross. The cross is hard. We don't have a definition of what's hard. It's inconvenient. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't seem fair, but it's right. The easy thing and the right thing are not the same thing. Get that out of your mind. Jesus is asking you to do something hard because he went to the cross and did something much, much harder. Let me tell you what he did. Luke 23:34. Father, this is a direct quote from Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, while on the cross. Now, you got to get the context. Not when he was risen, not before. While he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, including the Roman soldiers, the ones with the hammers, the ones who held the nails, the ones who beat him at the whipping post. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive Judas. Forgive them. It means to release us and set us free. And you know, I always don't go through a resurrection message without mentioning my favorite person, Barabbas, who didn't know when he was going to be executed, was just waiting because they didn't give you a date in them days, didn't know when he was going to be executed at all, and heard the keys coming down the hallway only to have the door open and say, you can go free because this man that they're crying, he's going to take your place. Jesus took my place. I am Barabbas.
We're all Barabbas. Yeah, we're all Barabbas. And we really had no hope. Who's going to die for us that my king should die for me? Because of the cross, your past can be erased if we accept Jesus as our Savior. Because of the cross, our future is changed. Because we were all born into sin. We all belonged to that choice instead of belonging to God. But we have now been adopted. We no longer have a sin nature. We now have a God nature. We have a love nature. Any other way that we live is living a falsehood. So when Christians are mean, when Christians live mean lives, it's like an apple tree with thorns on it. It just doesn't make sense. Apple trees aren't supposed to have thorns on them. They're supposed to have wonderful apples on them. But because Jesus, the cross was a victory for Jesus, at least the resurrection was, right? The Bible says if Satan had known, he would never have crucified the Lord of glory. He didn't, Satan knew Scripture, but he didn't have revelation knowledge of what it would mean. What he did, here's what Satan didn't understand. The legality of this. Through one man, sin entered the world. Is that fair? Is it fair? Does it sound fair to you that because Adam and Eve sinned, that all their children are now condemned? You might say, well, that doesn't quite sound fair. But it is fair because God set up the rules of the garden, starting with the apple tree, starting with every, I'll just use an apple tree. The rules of an apple tree are this. Things produce after their own kind, right? Apple trees don't produce broccoli, not ever. Thank goodness. And since Adam and Eve committed the sin and had now had a sin nature, how could they pass on anything else but that sin nature? So Satan was in his right to say, these belong to me. These belong to me. Your destiny was hell without the cross. But is that fair? So what? Because of the laws of nature, because the things produce after their own kind, Romans says, if through one man sin could enter the world, then through another man sin could be removed from the world. See, it is fair. God uses the same logic that Satan has, they belong to me. God says, well, they'll be born again. And through one man, Jesus, through one man, Adam, sin entered the world. Through one man, Jesus, salvation will be there. Now it's just a matter of choice. I've been reading a lot. So when Jesus defeated Satan, which is what the resurrection is, it's a complete defeat of Satan. Satan's future is now in stone. There's no way out for him. I would say this about our lives. Satan has no authority in your life except the authority you give him. What? Did you get that? If we're bound, it's because we allow ourselves to be bound. I've been reading a lot for some reason. There's all these news stories about squatters. You know, who wants a squatter? You know, you go on vacation for a week and someone is moved into your house. That's what Satan does. He tries to take something that doesn't belong to him, your life, your house, your tent, and move in without permission. But you have landlord rights. You have ownership rights. And believe me, as the owner of a house, you have the right to evict whoever or whatever doesn't belong there. But you have to exercise that right and say, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. You have no permission here. You're leaving. Why did Peter deny Jesus? It was peer pressure. He wasn't around all the other disciples. He wasn't in a church service. Believe me, if they'd been having a church service, he would have been preaching. But because he was around the world, and that's you and me. We, away from this church, we there's people, there's friends, there's enemies. The TV, the movies, it's constant jokes about Jesus. It's constantly disregarding Jesus. Newspaper articles, the world has rejected Jesus. And you might say, well, that's just too bad that we've all got to reject Jesus. We don't have to all reject Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. It's an individual choice. And here's the thing, and I'll hurry it up here Pam. Death used to be the end, right? That's what people dread, is that you're going to die. Let me tell you a secret. You shall not die. All that's going to ever happen to you is that you're going to fall asleep. And every night that you fall asleep, when you wake up, you got to figure out where you're at. You ever go to out of town and you're in a strange hotel and you wake up and you say, where am I? When I was a child, I used to always fall asleep on the couch watching TV. And after I fall asleep, my dad, when I wasn't even aware of this because I was asleep, would pick me up and bring me to my bedroom. And that's where I would wake up. Go, how did I get here? And when you die, your father is going to pick you up and you're going to wake up in another place and go, how did I get here? Because I'm in my room. I'm in my father's house.
You know, here's the thing about the enemy that I always think about when we're talking about resurrection. He thought that it was finished too. He was probably going around going, it is finished. But it wasn't. It wasn't. Let me tell you what I believe. Had the devil known about the resurrection, he would have personally stopped the crucifixion. He would have done his very best to stop the crucifixion if he had known about the resurrection, because he thought it was over. He had no idea what was about to happen. And something that I want to say to all of us today, because I also have people come to me sometimes and they'll say, I've done this, I've done that. Oh, Pastor Pam, you don't know how bad my life is, which first of all, they're about to tell me. But I have to tell you this. God is not mad at you. I don't care what you've done. He's not mad at you. He still wants you back. He still loves you. The blood is powerful enough to get you back, to pull you back in. The blood is that powerful that all sins are washed away. All sins can be forgiven. And we can do the hard things. I want to go through this real quickly. You've heard this before because it's in my book. The story of the Green River Killer. He had killed 40-something women. Most of them were little girls that had turned to prostitution. And they were in the courtroom, and the victims were giving impact statements where you can stand and speak to the man who was being sentenced and try to influence the judge and the jury. And everybody was standing up who had a victim killed and saying, you know, I hate you. May you burn in hell. May you rot in hell forever and ever and ever. And I hope you're tortured like you tortured, you know, my loved one. And just went on and on until it got to one man. And it's actually on video, if you choose to see that. His name was Robert Rule. And his daughter had been tortured and killed by Gary Ridgway. And he stood up and he said, this is hard. Nobody said it isn't hard to forgive. Nobody said that life would always be easy. He stood in the courtroom and he said, sir, everybody in this courtroom wants you to die. They want the death sentence. They want this. They want that. They want you to suffer. He said, and they don't forgive you at all. He said, I stand here to tell you that I'm going to do what the Bible tells me to do. Sir, I forgive you. Now, here's the thing. Gary Ridgway had sat there the whole time just, you know, what do you say when people are like, rotten hell, rotten hell? When this man said that, you see him bow down and wipe one tear from his eye. That kind of love will win the nations. It will win your friends. It will win your enemies over, whatever. If you can just show love, that's what Jesus did for us. He forgave us of those kind of things, because here's the thing. The Bible says if I have hatred in my heart, it is a sin of murder. If I have lust in my heart, it is as the sin of fornication, adultery. So, you know, we are all sinners. There is none good. But with the righteousness of Christ and through the power of the cross, he sees us through the lens of love. It doesn't matter who you are. And that's why we should do our very best to love everyone. And the Bible says, because of Christ, the wrath of God was satisfied. Now, without the cross, without the blood, God would be very angry. God is angry at sin. He hates things. The Bible tells us. I just went through a Monday night. He hates lying. He hates sowing discord among the brethren. God's got a list of things he hates. But he loves you and I enough to die for us and to overlook it all through the power of the cross and the blood. There are three, I like small sentences, so there are three sentences that I love. For unto us a child is born, it is finished, and he is risen. And there's one more that I love. I go to prepare a place for you. That means my story's not over. You know, people worship a lot of things. We don't have, in this society, there's not too many wooden or gold idols, but there are a few. A lot of people, I used to have a golden Buddha back in my day, and all of a sudden I realized, you know, when I came to Christ really strong, that golden Buddha had to go. It had to go. The incense burning, it had to go. But I want to tell you something about the God we serve. He's not a dead God and he's not a deaf God. He can hear your prayers. Let me tell you something about idols. You can set up the television. You can set whatever your idol of choice is, your phone. Let me tell you, they do not. These idols made of wood or silver or gold, they are useless. They are powerless. A piece of wood cannot help you. It cannot give you hope. It cannot love you. Even silver and gold will never, though you love it dearly, it will never love you back again. You can beg a golden Buddha and rub his belly all day long, and he can do nothing for you. He cannot hear you. He cannot speak to you. You can worship famous people, but they are dead. They have no compassion for you. They are powerless, and you can lift up an idol, but an idol will never lift you up. There is nothing but the blood of Jesus that will lift us up, but a God who loves us. He is the one who spins the galaxies. He is the one God who hung his son on the cross. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I keep thinking about this over and over, the title that God gave me. He is risen, and the story isn't over yet. And I think of Pastor Gill, and I think of Patsy Benasiak, and I think of Sister Rose Williams, and I think of Kathy Paget, and I think of Hartford Brown, and their story isn't over yet. It's just getting started. So, of course, we have a reason to celebrate. I have a reason to celebrate. You have a reason to celebrate. He is alive in you and I.
And we all made that choice to come here today and to honor God, and that is why we're here today. As we get ready to close, I would like us, as we go into our time of worship, I would like everyone to examine their own hearts. That's the only heart you can't examine, right? You can't examine someone else's heart. And you can't change someone else's heart or their mind. But you were talking about idols made of wood, which I love that in the Old Testament where they would... They'd set them up, and they'd have to carry the idols around. They have mouths, but they can't talk. They have ears, but they can't hear. I like Elijah. Boy, he was full of spit and fire. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe that's the problem with your God. You know, maybe cut yourself a little more. You know, cry a little louder. You know, get louder. Maybe your God is asleep, or maybe he's on vacation, just mocking a God that there never was. As Pam pointed out, there's not any other gods, right? There's images of gods, but they don't even exist. There's only one God. There's no one else that can save us. There's no one else. There's no other plan. There's only plan God. But as that scripture said, that if we don't praise him, that even the rocks would cry out. And I was thinking that how the Bible talks about the stars singing. And I was thinking, even as we were playing worship this morning, I was just hearing these instruments made of metal and wood, instruments that can't see, that can't hear, that can't talk, that can't think, were just blasting out praises to God. The real instrument is the human heart. You know, that's where we praise. That's where our praise comes from, God, is the human heart. You've heard the saying that you can't see the forest for the trees. And let me put that in perspective. The lives that you and I live are busy lives. Tomorrow you have a full day. You've got things you've got to do and places you've got to go. And as you go through life, we say, I can't believe it's Friday again. I can't believe it's Saturday again. I can't believe it's Sunday again. I can't believe it's my birthday again. I can't believe it's Christmas again. I can't believe we have another resurrection service. It just seems like we just had one. I can't believe we have another Christmas. It seems like we just had one. And as your life is filled with what are you doing next week? What are you doing next month? That's the trees. You're in the trees and you're doing all this stuff and we're living our life. And you might even get the false impression that you're living a circle. Here's another Christmas. I'll start over till another Christmas. But you are not moving in a circle. Even though the earth is moving in a circle around the sun, even though we go from Sunday to Sunday, from summer to summer, from baseball to baseball, we mark these things. It's happening again. This is happening again. We're starting over again. Nothing has ever started over. You have gone from birth to today, and you are moving in a straight forward line, even if you do repeat a Sunday, even if you do repeat a birthday. The trees is our everyday life that we get involved in. We've got to take care of those things. But you could be so involved in the day-to-day, just living life week after week, month after month, until you finally live your last Christmas or your last birthday. The forest is the big picture. What is the big picture? Because we are concerned about tomorrow. Jesus said, why are you so concerned about tomorrow? Take no thought for tomorrow. We have to not plan for tomorrow. We have to plan for 10,000 years from now. As my father said, make every decision that you make based on this question: how will this affect my eternity? That's why when you do find $100 that doesn't belong to you, is your salvation worth stealing $100? You know, now if you find $1 billion not that doesn't belong to you, is your salvation worth $1 billion? Absolutely not. Make your calling and election sure. No one goes to heaven by being good. There is no one that is good. It is a question, what do you do with Jesus? Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. Make sure, you know, when someone's married and they have wedding rings and other ways, that's saying to someone that I belong to another. I belong to someone else. And you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and with the blood of Jesus. So anywhere you go in the realm of the Spirit, Satan ought to look at your head and go, there's blood on that person's forehead. There's the blood of Jesus. They've been sealed with the blood of Jesus. And you go, how do I know the blood is on me? You apply it. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life, over my family, over my church. How do I know I belong to God? Because you declare it. How does Satan know I belong to God? Because you declare it to him. I belong to him. He belongs to me. I've made my choice. You're not one of those Christians, are you? I am one of those Christians. I'm one of those loud Christians. I'm one of those Christians who love Jesus. I am not, what's the next word? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to identify with his death, with his suffering, even with his humility. Even as the world mocks Jesus, mock me along with him. I belong to him, and you belong to him. So I'm going to play, I was thinking that old song, Up From the Grave He Arose. Or, and then I was thinking maybe What a Day or Jesus, Lover of My Soul. I'm going to pick it up.
Let's stand. We're looking forward to that. You know, one of my favorites, I was laughing when he was talking about the false gods, because I kept thinking about Dagon. They would set Dagon up and he would fall down. They had to pick him up. You know, come on, there's your God. He's on the ground. Get him. Somebody pick him up. You know, one of the things I want to say in closing is this. You're okay. You're on your way. You're sealed with the blood of Jesus. We can do a lot of things, though, in the kingdom of God to honor the cross, to uphold the cross in the name of Jesus Christ, and honor the blood and the Holy Spirit. I say that if you've made it here today to honor the cross, you've made it another year. If you can make it back to the cross, just keep coming back to the cross. That's what I do every day. I just come back to Jesus every day. It's okay to say, I need you, Jesus, again today, because we do, because each and every one of us do. We need Jesus. We need forgiveness every day. We need a Savior every day. There's something you need saving from every day, whether you know it or not. We've got a lot of prayer requests that we're going to be praying for. Continue to pray for Frida's family. Karen, we're praying for you. Karen's going for a biopsy. I'm actually going with her on Tuesday. Would you please continue to pray for Karen? Because we know that Jesus is the healer, and we're believing for resurrection miracles. Father, we come before you and we thank you. We're going to worship here in a few minutes, but we're not going to worship Dagon. We're not going to turn a TV on and see a show, Father God. We're not going to look at our phones. Father God, we're going to lift our hands and our voices to you and worship you, Father God. And we are going to look forward to that day, Father God. We're all going to have a day, and I look forward to it. In Jesus' name, thank you for your sacrifice on my behalf, Jesus. Thank you for the blood.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.